Well, welcome back once again to our series of devotionals on the Pilgrim's Progress. Today, we come to the Delectable Mountains, which is a welcome reprieve from the troubles that Christian has undergone so far. Christian and Hopeful have just escaped from the doubting castle of giant despair. And they went on from the castle, which they've overcome by fighting the fight of faith, by believing the promises of God, and trusting, therefore, that there is hope in their Christian lives, that whatever despair or hopelessness they had felt was unwarranted in the sense that they have a great treasure and inheritance laid up for them if they only trust and press on. And so they've done that and are doing that. And they come to the Delectable Mountains, which mountains belong to the Lord of that hill, of which we have spoken of before. So Bunyan says, we've spoken of these Delectable Mountains. Where have we done that? Well, at the Palace Beautiful. If you have my version of Pilgrim's Progress, this is on pages 57 and 58, but at the end of their time at the Palace Beautiful, at the end of Christian's time at church, which we said, remember, the Palace Beautiful represents the church, they showed Christian the Delectable Mountains. Bunyan says, then I saw in my dream that on the morrow he got up to go forwards, but they desired him to stay till the next day also. And then said they, we will, if the day be clear, show you the Delectable Mountains, which, they said, would yet farther add to his comfort, because they were nearer the desired haven than the place where at present he was. So he consented and stayed. So the church gives hope by giving glimpses of the Delectable Mountains, which were still far off, but could show the weary pilgrim, the traveler, that hope was there. And so he consented and stayed. When the morning was up, they had him to the top of the house and bid him look south. So he did. And behold, at a great distance, he saw a most pleasant mountainous country, beautified with woods, vineyards, fruits of all sorts, flowers also, with springs and fountains, very delectable to behold. And then he asked the name of the country, and they said it was Emmanuel's land. And it is as common, said they, as this hill is to and for all the pilgrims. And when thou comest there, from thence thou mayest see to the gate of the celestial city, as the shepherds that live there will make appear. So from the Delectable Mountains, you can see the gate to the celestial city. You're getting close when you get there. And so here, Christian has come to the Delectable Mountains. And it says, so they went up to the mountains to behold the gardens and orchards, the vineyards and fountains of water, where also they drank and washed themselves and did freely eat of the vineyards. Now there was on the tops of these mountains shepherds feeding their flocks, and they stood by the highway side. What are the Delectable Mountains a picture of, according to Bunyan's allegory? Well, one clue that we have is that they've just been in Doubting Castle, as we said last time, from Wednesday until Saturday, and they broke out on the Lord's Day on Sunday, and so we're on the Lord's Day where they find themselves in the Delectable Mountains to be refreshed and to have all this pleasantness. And they find there shepherds feeding their flocks, pictures of pastors instructing the church out of the scriptures, preaching the word of God and teaching. Christian and Hopeful have gone again to church. They've gone to the Lord's Day. And what Bunyan is trying to tell us is that the Lord's Day is to be enjoyed. The Puritans of the 17th century did not look upon the Lord's Day as a drudgery or as rules to be kept. Okay, it's Sunday, so I can't really do much else than go to church. No, I remember one scholar saying that one of the Puritans called the Lord's Day the market day for the soul, which is to, what do you do when you go to the market? You know, you go to buy all of the goods and foods that will nourish and refresh the family for the week. And so the idea is that going to church is the market day, is when you go and you gather up all the blessings and nourishment from the scriptures, from fellowship, from the blessing of praise and prayer in the assembly. And it strengthens you for your journeys as you go. Here they come to the fellowship of the church on the Lord's Day, where there are shepherds feeding their flocks. And the pilgrims therefore went to them, and leaning upon their staves, as is common for with weary pilgrims when they stand to talk about with any, by the way. So here they are wearied, leaning on their walking sticks. They asked, "Whose delectable mountains are these? And whose be the sheep that feed upon them?" And one of the shepherds says, "These mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they are within sight of his city, and the sheep also are his, and he laid down his life for them." John 10, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and they know me. They hear my voice, they follow after me, they won't follow a stranger." These are the sheep of Christ, the church. And Christian says, "Is this the way to the celestial city?" And they say, "You are just in your way." "How far is it there?" This is an interesting response. Okay, how far is it to get to the celestial city? And the shepherd says, "Too far for any except those that shall get there indeed." In other words, there's still need for perseverance this far in the way. You can see the gate of heaven. You can see eternal life, but still the way from here to there is too far, except any but God has chosen. Only the elect will persevere. Only those whom God has given grace to persevere will be preserved unto the end. Even those, even here, even at this far late in the game, Christians or professing Christians who have been professing Christians for decades can come this far and still not persevere to the end. We'll see more of this theme in a moment. Christian says, "Is the way safe or dangerous?" Well, safe for those for whom it is to be safe, but transgressors shall fall therein. There again, you won't be lost if indeed God has chosen you and the Son has died for you and the Spirit is working in you to bring you to Him, to the possession of all that Christ has purchased for you. But if that's not you, if you remain a sinner, deceived, and a hypocrite, you will fall before, between here or there. Is there any relief in this place for pilgrims that are weary and faint in the way? And he says, "The Lord of these mountains has given us a charge not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. Therefore, the good of the place is even before you." "I saw also in my dream," Bunyan said, "that when the shepherds perceived they were wayfaring men, they also put questions to them." Here again, the church examines would-be members, would-be beneficiaries of their hospitality and fellowship as to the genuineness of their faith and their conversion. Again, we're not just to let anybody in the church. We're to examine them and to see if they can give a credible profession of faith, if they give any sort of indication of genuine Christian experience, because we're concerned that the visible church look like the invisible church, that those who are welcomed into our fellowship are genuine Christians. Like I said before, when we discussed this at the Palace Beautiful, we can't do that perfectly, but we must do it to the degree that we're able. And so they put questions to them. "Whence came you? How have you gotten in the way? By what means have you persevered? For, but few of them that begin to come here do show their face on the mountains." Many people come in through this way, or come through the way, and when they get, and they don't even make it here, they fall away before now. Matthew 24, 12 and 13, Jesus says, "Because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who perseveres to the end shall be saved." Not he who perseveres for a long while and then sits back, takes his ease and expects that he can coast. No, there has to be perseverance all the way up to the end, or you'll discover yourself to be one who is merely a hypocrite, one who was among us but not truly of us. Because going out from us, you've proved that you're not truly of us, 1 John 2:19. But when the shepherds heard their answers, when Christian and Hopeful gave their testimony,
The shepherds, being pleased therewith, looked very lovingly upon them and said, "Welcome
to the Delectable Mountains," as any shepherd does when they discern the work of grace in the heart of men. They love them as their own family, as shepherds of their own, as sheep of their own flock, and say, "Welcome to all the delectableness, all the delight, all the beauty, all the refreshment and nourishment of this place." Now, the shepherds' names were Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere, names we could discourse on. The shepherd, the faithful pastor, is knowledgeable. He's not a dolt. He's not someone who's driven by passion with no firm rooting in truth, but gives himself to the knowledge of the Scriptures. Experience, the pastor is not someone who is all knowledge, but no trial of that knowledge, no experiential acquaintance with the power of things in religion. He's watchful. He is not someone who just knows and experiences for his own sake, but that he labors for the care of those he oversees and protects. And so therefore brings correction and instruction and says, "Keep on your way," who admonishes the unruly, who encourages the faint-hearted, who helps the weak. And Sincere, men who are not double-minded, men who are not phonies, but who are pure and tested by the sun, as it were, in the light of the sun, revealing any cracks in their character, men of integrity. And they took them by the hand, and they had them to their tents, and made them partake of that which was ready at present. And they said, "Stay a while, be acquainted with us, solace yourselves with the good of the Delectable Mountains." Stay and enjoy the delights of our fellowship. Well, they got up the next day and they start showing them things of the Delectable Mountains. And the first hill they take them to the top of is a hill called Error, which was very steep on the furthest side. And they bid them to look down to the bottom. And so Christian and Hopeful looked down from this hilltop called Error and saw at the bottom, several men dashed all to pieces by a fall that they had from the top. And then said Christian, "What meaneth this?" The shepherds answered, "Have you not heard of them that were made to err by hearkening to Hymenaeus and Philetus as concerning the faith of the resurrection of the body?" This is a reference to 2 Timothy 2:17-18, which said, "And their talk will spread like gangrene, among them Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some." So the people who find themselves dashed to pieces at the bottom of the hill called Error are those who've wandered after false teaching, after heretical teaching. The shepherd says, "Those you see lie dashed in pieces at the bottom of this mountain are they who followed after these men, and they've continued to this day unburied, as you see, for an example for others to take heed how they climb too high or how they come too near to the brink of this mountain." You see what he's saying? You come too near this steep hill, this steep mountain, and you're going to eventually transgress the line. You're going to cross the line, and you're going to fall into the death of heresy. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Anyone who goes too far and does not confess this doctrine of Christ is not a Christian, is an apostate." Anyone who goes too far, there's a line you can cross even doctrinally, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who said that the resurrection had already taken place. There's a line you can cross doctrinally that is like falling over the precipice of a steep mountain, and you can dash yourself into pieces. There are things which, if believed, ruin a Christian, a professing Christian, and reveal him to be no Christian at all and never a Christian at all. We need to have doctrinal fidelity and keep to the pattern of sound words, lest we make ourselves like the followers of Hymenaeus and Philetus. We can't embrace false doctrine. Then they moved from the hill Error to another mountain, the top of another mountain that's called Caution, and told them, "Look far off." And they saw that there were men blind groping about among a cemetery. And they say, "What is this?" And the shepherds say, "Did you see that stile by a meadow that was on the left hand of this way?" And they said, "Yeah, we know that well." Maybe they said that to themselves. And they said, "From that stile goes the path that leads to Doubting Castle, kept by Giant Despair. And these men," pointing to the tombs, "came once on pilgrimage, as you do now,
even till they came to that same stile, and because the right way was rough in that place, they chose to go out of it into that meadow, and there were taken by giant despair, and cast into Doubting Castle, where after they had a while been kept in the dungeon, he did at last put out their eyes and led them among the tombs, where he has left them to wander to this very day, that the saying of the wise man might be fulfilled, Proverbs 21:16. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
These are the men who did exactly what Christian and Hopeful did, but came to a different end than they did because the grace of God caused Christian to remember the promises by which he could act faith and escape. And then Christian and Hopeful looked one upon another with tears gushing out, but yet said nothing to the shepherds. They knew that that could have very well been their end, that if it wasn't for the grace of God, literally, there would they have gone. And they remember God's mercy to them, and it causes them to weep.
Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds had them to another place in a bottom, where was a door in the side of a hill, and they opened the door and bid them look in.
Okay, so they go and they find a door in the side of a hill.
And they looked in therefore and saw that within it was very dark and smoky, and they also thought they heard a rumbling noise as of fire, and a cry of some tormented, and they smelt the scent of brimstone. Christian said, what means this? And the shepherds told them, this is a byway to hell, a way that hypocrites go in, namely such as sell their birthright with Esau, such as sell their master with Judas, such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and that lie and dissemble with Ananias and Sapphira.
What are they seeing? They're seeing that even in the delectable mountains, there's a way, a bypass, a shortcut to hell. From the gate of heaven, there's a shortcut to hell. And people who looked like they were Christians or followers of Christ, followers of God, Esau, Judas, Alexander, Ananias, and Sapphira, all who made a start in faithfulness, made a start in Christianity, professed Christ, nevertheless, being hypocrites, they fell into hell from this very place. Hopeful says to the shepherds, I perceive that these had on them, even every one, a show of pilgrimage, as we have now. Have they not? Every one of those people in that place of torment, who have gone in from this side, for the door in the side of the hill, look just like we look. Indistinguishable from genuine Christians. The rocky soil and the thorny soil look just like the crop that has sprung up from the fertile soil for a time. Indistinguishable. Bunyan's telling us, examine yourselves. Make sure that though you look like a Christian, that you don't be like one of these that looked like Christians and perished finally because they didn't persevere to the end. Judas was one of the 12 disciples, and he was indistinguishable from Peter for a long time, except to Christ who knew all men. And yet how Judas and Peter were revealed. Make sure you're not a Judas, but a Peter, who's faithfully persevering to the end. Look for those evidences of grace. As Hopeful says, these guys were just like us, weren't they? And the shepherds said, yes, and held their show of pilgrimage for a long time, too. Hopeful says, how far might they go on pilgrimage in their day, since they, notwithstanding, were thus miserably cast away? Shepherd says, some further, and some not so far as these mountains. Some will go even further than this and then fall away. Some have fallen away before they've even got here. And then said the pilgrims one to another, we had need to cry to the strong for strength. That's the right response. We need to cry for grace to persevere. No resting on our laurels. No coasting, saying, hey, I've gotten to this plateau of maturity. I'm sure to be okay. I'm sure to get into heaven. I can kick back and relax. No, you have need of perseverance. Don't squander your inheritance. Don't shrink back to destruction. Persevere because the inheritance that you have is great. And if you leave off of it, you'll be like one of these men who go to a side door into hell from the very gates of heaven.
Well, then they move forward. The pilgrims had a desire to go forwards, and the shepherds a desire that they should as well. So it's time for you to move on from here. And they walked to the end of the mountains, and they said, the shepherds to one to another, let's here show the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city, if they have the skill to look through our perspective glass. The pilgrims then lovingly accepted the motion, so they had them to the top of a high hill called Clear. So they've been to the hill Error, Caution, they've been to the side of the hill where there's this trapdoor, and now they're on a hill called Clear, a high hill called Clear. And the shepherds gave them a glass by which to look. This is the telescope of the scriptures. The scriptures, a telescope, a looking glass through which we can see the gates of heaven, even from the church. And they essayed to look, but remembrance of that last thing the shepherd showed them made their hands shake. So they were still fearing hell. And so they couldn't look through the glass clearly. So servile fear of hell keeps us from seeing the privileges of our blessing, of our inheritance, through the clear lens of Scripture. It's proper to fear punishment, but it's not proper to fear punishment in a servile way. And if you do, your sight of Scripture, your understanding of what Scripture shows you won't be as clear. But they look, and they thought they saw something like the gate, and also some of the glory of the place. And Bunyan's telling us that in the delectable mountains of the church, guided by the shepherds of Christ's flock, the pastors of Christ's flock, who instruct them out of the scriptures, with the scriptures brought up to their eyes so that they might see by what they read, glimpses of heaven and of glory are to be enjoyed. And I know it's true for me, I know it's true for some of you as I've spoken with you, that there are Sunday mornings at Grace Community Church where we see glimpses of heaven, where whether it's in the rapture of praising God with one another in the assembly, whether it's in the choir praising God with all that power that they sing with, whether it's somebody like Phil Webb or Jubilant Sykes or Grace Chung who sings and lifts our souls to heaven, whether it's in the preaching of the word where we see Christ so clearly, whether it's in the prayers of the saints as we call to him and taste his sufficiency, whether it's in the fellowship of the brothers and sisters as we bear one another's burdens and hear of how we're doing and encourage one another with the word. When we're here walking among these delectable mountains, we can catch glimpses of heaven and the glory there to be revealed. That's what Bunyan's trying to tell us, that the church is a place like that. Do you see it as a place like that? Do you do what you can to make it a place like that? Gather up all the marrow and the sweetness from your time in fellowship. These are the delectable mountains from which we see the gates of heaven and know that we are to come there soon. Then it says they went away and sang this song. Thus by the shepherds secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds then if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious be. Come to church. Come under the tutelage and instruction of called men of God who can instruct you in the scriptures. That's what church is about. It's not about some sort of event. It's not about some sort of movement. It's not about how you can be made to feel. It's about whether there are God's servants who can instruct you in the knowledge of the word. Well, it says, when they were about to depart, one of the shepherds gave them a note of the way. Another of them bid them beware of the flatterer. The third bid them take heed that they sleep not on the enchanted ground. And the fourth bid them Godspeed. And Bunyan says, so I awoke from my dream. And we'll see what those 4 points mean a little bit later on as we travel from the delectable mountains on the way to the gates of the celestial city.